is that Abel had obedient worship. Obedient worship. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wow. Wow. He offered a more. Here are two brothers. They both are coming to bring an offering. And the Bible says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Obedient worship. Obedient worship.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the start of a new series titled A Faith Journey to the Resurrection. So let's begin our series with the first half of The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship.
Yo, we are focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the main events in the Christian church, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So for the next several Sundays, we're going to be focusing on the resurrection, the road to the resurrection, the road to that day that we celebrate Jesus Christ and Him rising from the dead. And we're going to specifically be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. So the title of our series is A Faith Journey to the Resurrection in Hebrews chapter 11. Now I have a question that I want to ask. We're going to be talking about faith. We're going to be talking about the road to the resurrection. What is the biblical definition of faith? You know, in the Christian church, we hear a lot about faith. Young people hear a lot about faith. They say, you got to have faith. You got to have faith in this. You got to have faith in that. But what is faith? What is the definition of faith? And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 11, we have the biblical definition of faith. Look at this biblical definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me read that again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's a good biblical term, but let me put it in terms that we can understand. Faith stands in the place of the thing hoped for and the thing not seen. So let me make it even more simpler. If you go to the next slide. And in the next slide, what we see here is there, what you are sitting in now. What? I need somebody to hear me. I need somebody to hear me this morning. What you are sitting in now. We stood out one cold, I believe December morning, and we had shovels, and we stuck them in the ground. I believe it was, these guys, I'll tell you what, the camera people, when I move too far outside the camera, I can see them kind of getting, let me make sure I stay in camera range, all right? But I believe it was somewhere over there by that wall that we gathered outside as a church. And we broke the ground by faith, believing that God had a building that He wanted us to build. Yes. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yes, the evidence of things not seen. When we stood there that day, yes, all we had was faith. There was no building there. We just stood there by faith. Now, early on, we passed out a picture of the building, and we asked people to pray about it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This might not be the most edifying thing to say on a Sunday morning, but I had this picture right here in my bathroom. I also had it on my kitchen refrigerator. So I realized that we didn't have the church. But every time I saw that, I never forgot that this is what we were hoping for. This picture was the substance of things hoped for. This picture was the evidence of things not seen. That's faith, brother. That's faith. That's faith when, go back to that slide before, that's faith when you can stand on nothing. Woo! When you can stand on nothing and see it come to pass. That you guys are sitting in what we had faith in. And then it was sometimes later that I actually passed out another picture, and we had, this is good, right? Right, you know, we had the finances to put up the shell, right? Y'all remember that, right? Yeah. We put the shell up, and all we had for about 2 years was a shell. And we weren't moving, you know, we needed to raise some more finances and get things going, right? So I asked Deacon Boston to give us a rendition of what it would look like once it's finished on the inside. Now, this is not what we're sitting in now, but it's almost like it. And so we put the picture and we gave it to the saints to pray so that they could see what they were praying for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. That's all we had, was a vision, was a picture. I don't know y'all getting tired of hearing me say this, but what you're sitting in today is the substance. What you're sitting in today is the evidence of things that we had faith in years ago. And actually, we started this campaign back in about 2010, 2011. And so it's been, you know, all those years. And we finally got in here a couple years ago. But saints, and so what I'm trying to say is that sometimes in your life, you got to have faith, and you can't lose sight of what it is that you are working for. You know, if it's a college degree, if it's writing a book, if it's getting that job that you want, if it's raising a family, you can't lose sight. You got to have something to take the place until you get the thing. And so that's what we're talking about for the next couple weeks. Faith. Faith is what we're talking about. And this morning, we're going to look at Abel. You remember Cain and Abel in the Bible. And so this morning we're going to look at Abel's faith. And so we have a little introductory video that I want to show. And I'll come back and say a few things. And then we'll be done on this Youth Sunday.
The story of Cain and Abel begins right after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Because they ate the fruit that God commanded them not to eat, sin entered the world and cursed God's perfect creation. Adam and Eve could no longer stay in the garden and now had to live in the world, which was a much harder place to live in. The ground produced thistles and thorns, which made it harder for them to farm for food. Pain, suffering, and death were now a part of life. It was after Adam and Eve left the garden that they had two baby boys. The oldest was named Cain, and the youngest was named Abel. When they grew up, Cain became a farmer and worked the ground, and Abel became a shepherd and took care of sheep. In the course of time, both Cain and Abel gave offerings to God. Since Cain was a farmer, he brought God some of the produce of the land. Except he didn't bring the best. He kept the best of his crops for himself, instead of giving it to God. Abel also presented offerings to God, except Abel brought the best that he had. He gave God the firstborn of his flocks and the best of his sheep. When God looked upon the two offerings, he was happy with Abel's offering because Abel trusted God and gave him the best. But God was not pleased with Cain's offering. Cain was furious that God was more pleased with Abel. The Lord saw how Cain was feeling and asked him.
What a story that we find in the early chapters of our Bible, that there were two brothers and they made an offering to God. One made an offering of vegetables and the other one made an offering of a lamb or a sheep or some type of animal. And God had respect for one offering and the other offering he didn't respect. And as a result of Abel's offering, we fast forward to the New Testament, and Abel is mentioned in Hebrews 11. We call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Faith. And the people that got into Hebrews 11 got there because they did some great act of faith. And so it was Abel. You just saw the story. Cain and Abel, you know, going back to the early parts of the Bible. You saw the story and what they offered and what they brought to God. And God had respect for Abel's offering. And so we're going to look at Abel this morning. And I have four things I want to share with you. People started letting me know that, Pastor, you need to start passing out notes again. they say, we need to get the notes again. So starting this week with this series, we're going to reinstitute, before the pandemic, we'd pass out notes every Sunday. And once the pandemic hit, we stopped. So a lot of things are starting back slowly. So the passing out of the notes are being kicked back in the gear. And so if you want to follow along on the screen, or you want to follow along on your notes, and I tried to leave some extra room, so if you want to write some stuff down, write some things that God might speak to your heart about, or maybe some side notes that you would have the opportunity to do that. But the first thing that we see is that Abel had obedient worship. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wow! Wow! He offered a more, here two brothers. They both are coming to bring an offering. And the Bible says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Obedient worship. What does that mean? It means three things. It means that his sacrifice was offered by faith. That he believed in God. He believed in what God said. You can't touch God. You can feel him moving, but you can't feel God, right? God is a spirit. And so the only thing that we have to help us is faith. When you think about how many senses do we have? Five, right? And when you think about your five senses, what do? They bring you in touch with the world around you, that you can see the things in the world around you. You can hear the things in the world around you. You can touch the things in the world around you. You can smell the things in the world around you. Your five senses, they bring you in touch with this world. It enables me to see this pulpit. to touch this pulpit. It enables me, if these flowers were given off a scent, to be able to smell these flowers, right? That my senses help me to do that. But what helps me get in touch with God? It's that sixth sense. And everybody don't have it. You don't have that sixth sense unless you're a child of God. And the sixth sense is faith. Faith helps me to experience God in all his fullness. And so Abel had faith in God. And his sacrifice, it says, was excellent. That in the eyes of God, that Cain brought vegetables, Abel brought an animal sacrifice. And when God looked at both of them, he said that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain. It was far greater spiritually. It was far greater in value. And somebody had mentioned it earlier that Abel brought the best. And Cain maybe held back a little bit. But it's that third point that I believe is the most important, and that his sacrifice was in obedience to God's instruction. You see, I believe, as we look at Genesis chapter 3, in verse 21, where God already required an animal sacrifice. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing that God did? He killed an animal, and he covered them with the skins. And I believe that Adam and Eve told their sons and said, you know, the sacrifice that pleases God is an animal sacrifice. Now, that's my belief. Some theologians may disagree with that. Some people may disagree with that. But that's what I believe. And so I believe that the reason that God rejected Cain's offering is because he didn't bring an animal sacrifice. Well, you'll say, well, he was a keeper of the ground. He was a farmer. All he had to bring was fruits and vegetables. Ah, but he could have taken some of those, his best fruits and vegetables. And he could have took them to his brother Abel and said, you raise the sheep. Let me give you some of the best fruits and vegetables that I have. Let me give you the first fruits of what I have raised, let me give them to you for sheep so that I can offer an animal sacrifice. Amen. And that God would be pleased. Amen. That God would be pleased. He had obedient worship. And so Abel's heart was right with God, but Cain's heart was not. Abel's right heart was in bringing the best. Cain's was not. Now, I'm going to ask a question. And I don't want the young people to answer because I know how some of them might answer. Right? But the question I'm going to ask, or watch it now. Do you get bored when you come to church? Yeah. All right, I tell you what, I'm a prophet. I told you that was going to be the answer, right? All right. So I'm not going to talk so much to the maybe kids, even though I am talking to you. I'm going to talk to the adults. If you get bored when you come to church, have you ever thought about that that's an indication of your heart? Just go back to Cain and Abel. Why did God respect Abel's offering and reject Cain's offering? Because Cain's heart was not right. Abel's heart was right with God. And so when we think about the fact that maybe we come to church and, you know, we say that, man, I don't get anything out of coming to church. It's just a waste of time. You know, is that an indication of where your heart is at? You know, I think of this lady that came to Jesus and she wanted Jesus to bless her. And Jesus said that, you know, he had to take care of his people first. And then he'd take care of others. And the lady said, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And I'm saying that they saints, no matter how boring the speaker is, right? I mean, the speaker might be so boring that it's almost like sitting there and watching paint dry on the wall, right? That's how boring the speaker is. I mean, you say, I might as well be sitting here watching paint dry on the wall. That's how boring this guy is, right? And the fact of the matter is, if you come in your heart and you are looking for, somebody hear me now. If you are looking for just a crumb, if you are looking for a crumb, you might not be looking for a loaf of bread. You might not be looking for a slice of bread. You might just be looking for a crumb. I guarantee you that God will give you a crumb if you come with that heart. So keep in mind, in your worship a lot of times is an indication of where your heart is at, of where your heart is at. He had obedient worship. I like this right here. He had an outstanding witness. He had an outstanding witness. Look what Hebrews 11:4 says. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That his witness, that people looked at him and saw that he was right with God. And when you look at your life, I'm not saying that you got to be a saint. I'm not saying that you got to be some holy roller. I'm just saying, do you basically do the things that are right? Do you make right choices? You know, in school, do you make right choices? You know, when you're at home by yourself, do you make right choices? You know, it says that he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, let me share with you two things that are going to blow your mind, because it blew mine. Jesus Christ gave witness to the righteousness of Abel. In Matthew 23:35, Jesus called Abel righteous Abel. Man, you know, when you got Jesus Christ giving a witness about you, you must be doing something right. And not only that, but the Apostle John in 1 John 3:12 gave witness to the righteousness of Abel. He called him righteous Abel. So here's a guy that appeared in the Old Testament just for a couple verses. And all of a sudden, he got three references in the New Testament. Wow. You know, I heard a story about a policeman. And he followed this car. And he put the sirens on. And the person was trying to figure out why the police was following them. And so they pulled over, and the police came up, and they said, "Officer, why are you following me?" He said, "Well, let me see your license and your registration." And he looked at it, and it all checked out. He said, "Oh, I was just checking it out." He said, "Because I thought this car was stolen." "Well, why did you think it was stolen?" "Well, because on the back of your bumper, it said, honk if you love Jesus. But I saw you when somebody pulled in front of you, you gave them the middle finger." "So I thought the car was stolen." Are you giving indication of your righteousness? Who's giving witness to your righteousness? That policeman did not give witness to that person's righteousness.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the faith of Abel, obedient worship. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship from our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.